Amen. Well, Father God, we thank you for this wonderful weather you've given us here in this spot. And Lord, we thank you that wherever else there's bad weather, that it's going to be good tomorrow in Jesus' name. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon us tonight. Everybody that comes and shows up, that your anointing would be strong and that it would help us to lose our life to you, Lord, and I thank you for that. As you know, Lord, been looking at some past wonderful men of God and how they came to into the authority and the things that you've walked them through. And Father God, it all goes down to one thing, and that is giving it up for you, surrendering all. And Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for placing that in all of our hearts to give it all to you, Lord, no matter what it takes. And I thank you for it, Father. And give us the courage and the conviction that no matter what comes against us, that we will all walk through it because you're at our side. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for a wonderful time tonight with fellow believers, brothers and sisters. I'm gonna call them that because that's what they are. They're brothers and sisters of mine. We've known each other for years and years, Lord. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. And I praise you, Lord, that tonight's gonna be a special night with you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the healings, deliverances, and the gifts of the Spirit in operation tonight. And I praise you and I thank you for all that you're doing in us personally. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, has anybody got a prayer or that need prayer? Okay, Julie.
Oh, prayer of agreement. My neighbor below me moved out. And they're going to be doing renovations downstairs. It's right below me. So they're going to be doing apartment, like when they do a turnover, and they're going to be redoing everything, the painting, cleaning things up, replacing stuff, putting down all new flooring, all that stuff. So my prayer request is, Father, I ask for your grace. I pray for all the workers down there, maintenance, and whoever he contracts in to get stuff done that he won't be doing himself. I pray your blessing on them, that they're able to do it well, and that it's not going to be very loud on most days, that I'll still be able to focus, meditate on you, read the word, and work and do everything I need to do here, and that it's not going to be a real obtrusive work that they're doing downstairs, and that they get it done quickly in Jesus' name. And I also pray,
Amen.
God, that you give me a good neighbor down below me. Somebody
Amen.
without drama, somebody who's quiet, somebody
Good
that,
brother and sister in Christ.
or maybe it's just not even there very much, whatever. I don't care, I just pray your blessing on that too, Lord. And I pray blessings also that, my other neighbor across from me over here, they're moving into a new apartment in this complex in a larger, facility. So they'll be turning that one over as well. And hopefully that one won't need as much work done on it because they keep it pretty clean. They do a pretty good job, but they'll have to replace the carpet, I'm sure. So that'll be more noise. And I don't know how soon he'll get to that one too. They can only do one at a time. But thank you, Lord, for your blessing here and all my neighbors, and that I have peace, protection, and all the all your benefits here, Father, that let me be just who I'm supposed to be in Christ Jesus to my neighbors. And yes, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, here's my prayer for Julie. I ask, Lord, that you just within the next couple of weeks would move her out here into her home. And I praise you and thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. She won't have to worry about neighbors or anything else. Rent, gone. Electricity, bills, gone.
Amen.
All of it is
Amen.
gone in Jesus' name.
I'm
Thank you,
all over
Father.
that. And I pray that for all my brethren. Lord, do that for
Amen.
all of us, God. Move quickly, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for
Amen.
bringing to pass all of your awesome plans for this Nisara Jisara, the R&R, and all these things that are coming to pass here in Jesus' name. Well, I just won't say anything right now on my on the recording, but I did notice something today. It was interesting.
Okay. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Right
Oh, are
now,
we still doing? I'm sorry, Mike. Are we still doing communion on Thursday?
best of my knowledge, yeah, I need to put it on the blog, but I'll do that.
Okay. And you haven't sent anything out in email either, so. To all our other brethren that don't get to come in here very often on, the Tuesday,
Yeah,
Thursday night.
I'll do that when I get off tonight. I'm gonna try to get David in here too, and try to get all the fellowship in here also. I'll do that tomorrow at the book study. Okay, anyone else got a prayer request? Yeah, Vanita.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I just wanted you to agree with me. Nick is, we're starting to take him off of one of his medicines that he's been on. And I just want to, I mean, he's not going to have any seizures because he's already healed. So we don't even need to worry about it. And I just command any fear or worry in my mind just out of here because I don't need to worry about it. Lord's got it taken care of. And the people at work know about it and they're not worried about it. So he, and I said, he's probably not even going to have a seizure. He's not going to. Don't worry about it. So, so praise the Lord for that. And he can get off one medicine at a time until he's down to nothing. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we just pray for Nick right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. He is healed, delivered, and he is made whole by the stripes of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you that it is done for Nick in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Nick is so healed that here before too long, he's going to be so healed, he's going to be just like everybody else. He's going to be able to drive and do whatever he needs to do, everything. There's no limitations. He's whole completely in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe that too. I've believed that for a while now.
And preaching the gospel. Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else? I bet he would too. He will. You'll have to get him a vehicle in. Need to get him a three-quarter ton dually.
He always says he wants a Super Duty, and now he wants an electric car. He want he just he's
Okay.
got all kinds of things on his wish list.
Okay, good. Right, anyone else? All right, is anything on anybody's mind that they'd like to talk about tonight? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and play a song right quick, and y'all be thinking about what you want to talk about tonight. It's a good song. I like it. I think y'all will like it too because we played it before.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
That's an awesome song. I like that song. All right. I'll just start off tonight if I can. I was telling Julie and Missy about something that I had seen earlier on a short from YouTube about F.F. Bosworth. Has any of you heard of F.F. Bosworth, Frank Frederick Bosworth? Well, I've heard of him many years because he was associated with Lake, John Lake. He was also associated with William Branham, and he was also associated with, oh gosh, well, many pastors, many preachers. But the thing about Bosworth was this: he grew up playing the cornet, musical instrument, and he always wanted to be famous and in that regard as a trumpet player or cornet player. And then he came to the Lord. And when he came to the Lord, he wanted to do what the Lord wanted, not what he wanted. And he wanted to die to himself. And he did. He went, he did everything that God wanted him to do. And he went through a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache. He went through some physical ailments, but God brought him through it all because of his dedication to the Lord. And that dedication to the Lord cost him a lot. Cost him his physical. One time he was preaching to blacks and the whites, and back during this time he was this was right after the sometime after the Civil War, and they came against him. There were some whites that beat him up with ball bats and what have you, boards, and but he kept on preaching. He kept on preaching. He didn't let that deter him, and he knew the Lord had healed him. And of course, the Lord healed him almost instantly after they beat him. But his what struck me about Bosworth was his undying reverence to the Lord. He undying allegiance to the Lord and what the Lord wanted out of his word of God of him. And he got thrown out of a denomination, I'll put it that way, because of his beliefs. And it was a full gospel denomination that was limiting people as to why, what was the sign of being baptized in the Spirit. And as you probably already know, there are some denominations out there that believe the only sign is speaking in tongues. And that's not true. It's if you listen to David, you know that all the gifts, any gift of the Spirit is a sign that you've been baptized into the Spirit of God. But they hung on to that, and they kicked him out because he wouldn't change what he had found out through the Word of God. And all just other things along that line. And what it made me do was when you read about people like him, he would fast for 40 days, numerous times, numerous times, because he wanted more of God. And he knew that the way to go to more of God is to lose yourself and to lose the world off of you. Get rid of the world and your flesh. And that's what he did his whole life. He did that time and time again, and he would not veer from the Word of God as he knew it, you know, at that time. And I was just amazed at the things that Bosworth went through. And he still hung on. He still hung on with the Lord. He lost his wife. He lost his one child. Just a lot of things that he went through. But the Lord really blessed him spiritually. and also physically. And I think, well, I know that that is what God wants of all of us. And we look at people like him. I did. I looked at people like him and I said, boy, I sure have messed up. You know, I know y'all have probably already followed his steps, but I knew that there had been times in my past that bring to my mind, and a conviction sets in, and you have to throw that away because it's a new day. This is a new day. And you start wherever you are, and you go on with Christ in the way that you know that you need to. And I just kind of wanted to throw that out there as a introduction into losing self and the world off of us. And how is that possible for all of us? So it's open for discussion. Yeah, Missy.
By the grace of God.
Okay. What does that mean?
His unmerited favor. He works in us to will and to work of his good pleasure. That
Okay.
doesn't mean that we just sit back and we do absolutely nothing. We ask him. We ask him, I ask him for the grace when he speaks to me about something.
Yeah.
I think,
Yeah.
Lord, I can't do it, but you can in me, show me it's like, what do I gotta do to what is it that I need to do to help facilitate this? Obviously it's always obedience, but it's like, okay, Lord, help me to obey, okay, whatever, Lord, give me the grace to obey.
Yeah, well,
Whatever it is.
also, there are some things that we do in order to get that grace too, right?
Yeah. I mean, to me, like the most important thing is to put the word of God in my heart and my mind.
Bingo. Bingo. That's it. Put that word in his, and that's something that he did every day. Every day he would get in the word for ever how long it was. I don't think it even said, but he would put the word in, and he would memorize whole books. I'm not saying that's what we have to do, but I'm just saying this is what he did. He gave it so much credence that he would read and study and memorize these just whole paragraphs, sometimes whole books. But that's not something that's necessary to walk in the fullness of God, but it sure helps to know these things. Yeah, Julie.
As for myself personally, what I'm learning to, in failures, mistakes, or getting distracted or whatever it is, confessing it, and then immediately just thanking Jesus that he took this away, and confessing the gospel that I don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in me, and I'm dead to sin, alive unto God. And I want to make sure that my heart's right. And my conscience is clean, that the enemy can't use anything against me, because he tries. We all know that. And it's just humbling myself to the word of God. And it's like, I'm not my own. You purchased me, I belong to you. So, whatever I go through is for my perfection. It's for his glory. It's to teach me. We overcome, and teach me how to overcome all this stuff that, the fiery trials, the day-to-day stuff, and it says surrender. And like you were saying, I think right at the beginning, he just totally gave himself to the Lord, right, Michael? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah,
So, it's
that's
like,
exactly right
okay,
too.
I have to put aside my what I want, and lay that aside, even if it's just something I want, like, well, what am I supposed to be doing today, God? I don't know, but everything you said, Missy, and it's just it's not just one thing. We have to be doers of the word, right?
I think another a key, probably the most important key of the whole thing, is to give him time in your life every day. Give the Lord, just sit down and talk to the Lord, and then listen to him when he comes by. And spend time with the Lord is critical. I've noticed that in almost everyone that walked in the and some supernatural stuff, that every one of them always gave time to the Lord every day. Every day. Not just a minute or two, but hours. And I believe that. I believe that. It's, now, getting to do that sometimes can be a struggle, but if you make that your goal, not goal so much as, I don't know how you say it, your demand on the world is, I'm going to spend this time with the Lord today, and there's not going to be any distractions. Somebody comes beating on my door, I'll run them out of here. No, you don't do that. But what you do is you establish a time that you're going to be with him, and make it be known, so that you don't get to, or just find you a place that you don't, that you won't be distracted. That I believe that's imperative from my own experience, and also reading about these other people. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
The things that bothers me the most is when I go to see my family, it's so hard to get time with the Lord, especially here, if you're staying in a hotel room with your husband and son or whatever, and the last time we stayed at the same hotel, and I discovered they had a gym, and they had a treadmill. So I think for like a half hour, I got on the treadmill and propped my phone up there and looked at some scriptures and prayed as I was walking on the treadmill, and so yeah, I was like, that's the one thing I don't like about when I go to see my family, is my time with the Lord is so disrupted, and I feel so disoriented. So out of sorts. It's not, it's like when I come home, it's almost like it's hard to get it's
Well,
hard to clear all that way.
Missy, you're giving us all the negatives. Let's hear some positives.
I know, but I'm just saying. Well, I did say the I meant to be for it to sound positive, that when when I did go, I found the treadmill and was able to find, nobody else was in the gym. Nobody was in the gym. It was in the morning, and I was able to get on the treadmill and walk and talk and
Praise
read some
God.
scriptures off my phone. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
That was the positive.
All right. Yeah, I could sit here for hours and tell you the distractions that come around to me all the time. I don't want to do that. I was thinking, Missy, wonder what would happen if you put a if you just made it be known, and listen, I'm going to be in here for an hour or two or whatever, and I would like not to be disturbed if I could, because it's going to be me and the Lord, and I'm wanting to hear him more than I want to hear y'all. I just kind of put it to that. Wonder what would happen. I did that when I was in Arkansas. I'd tell Michelle, look, I'm going to be in here praying and talking to the Lord, and so I would have, just no distractions would be great. She said, "Daddy, I'm going to be sleeping anyway, so just go ahead." I said, "Okay, that's good, that's great." So maybe you could do something like that, I'm just throwing it out there. All right, anyone else? I don't mean to get on to you about that, Missy. I just wanted to hear some positive stuff. Pat, we're talking about what it is to draw nigh to the Lord, closer to the Lord, in that respect, and what it's going to take to do that, what it's going to take to walk like Him in this world, what it's going to take to die to self and to the flesh, and to the, our flesh and our and the world. What's it going to take? And the reason I asked that is I saw a short clip tonight on F.F. Bosworth. And if you ever heard anything about him, he was a man that was completely surrendered to the Lord most of the time. So that's the question. And we've discussed a little bit about what it takes, and one of the things that I believe that's probably the most important is getting alone with the Lord and listening to Him and knowing the Word. I think Missy brought that up too. Knowing the Word, getting in the Word, and understanding and knowing the Word, and just things that we already know. But it sometimes when you read those kind of stories, you get, I guess, convicted. To say convicted and to illustrate what it sometimes does to us, conviction should be there. What should be there is, okay, I know what I have to do now, and go right into it. If we've been lax in that particular aspect of our walk with the Lord, that's what I'm talking about. And I know we're all doing our best right now, but I'm just looking for some answers here. Now, I've gotten some answers from Julie and Missy. I'd like some from some other people. Okay, Julie.
I just would add to something that was coming to my mind as you were saying, it's like, being convicted and stuff. Because I can't compare myself to anybody else.
No.
So I can't let condemnation come in because that's just a downward spiral. So we have to guard our hearts about that. And if I'm doing everything I know to do, and if I make a mistake, which, I get distracted or whatever, I just go right back to where I'm supposed to be. Start again.
Yep. All right, Pat, go ahead.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, it's good to see
Feel
you,
like
bro.
I've been working this night shift as a upside down life,
Yeah.
Everything is reversed, so to speak. But I think, what the Lord is showing me lately is I'm been well, let me see. The importance of not only spending time with him, but so I wasn't here to hear the Bosworth input or what's happening there, but I know that the Lord is using certain influences, circumstances, such as, reading testimonies or seeing a YouTube video or whatever it would be that would, excuse me, make me aware of certain aspects of the Lord and freedoms, shall we say, freedom that other people are released to walk in that I don't currently share. And it, or I might struggle in it or whatever. And to use these things as motivation to seek the Lord specifically in those directions. And, you know, like Julie said, the first thing that comes up is condemnation. You know, the devil, you know, basically, you know, give you the, oh, you missed the boat routine, or, you know, you're never going to make it. This is too strong, or whatever. You know, there's a thousand different accusations that come in there. But just to cling to that truth that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And knowing that the Lord brings these circumstances and introduces these things into our life for that specific purpose of bringing us down that path so that we are become aware and our spirit becomes aware of the those the, let's just say the pitfalls, you know, where do I stumble, why do I stumble type of thing here. And unfortunately, I mean, I'm not going to say unfortunately, but I have found that it takes patience, it takes perseverance in failure, because, you know, everything we learn is usually, I'm speaking of myself here, everything I learn usually comes at the expense of failure along the way. And though, you know, though we fail seven times or whatever that, I don't remember what that scripture is, the Lord is there to lift us up and to bring us through that process, and until we eventually lock onto the truth that will set us free. I know that, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be on here. I might get pulled out of here, kind of in between asks and taking a break type of thing. But I know that the Lord has had me in James. I'm just going to flip over there because I'd like to just... I'm on my iPad here, so I'm a little bit out of the water here. If you don't mind, I'll just share something real quick.
All right.
I was, and this is kind of the one of the things that the Lord has been showing me here in the last few weeks, and has made it, I'm going to say, a little bit more clear than it was before. I kind of had the general, I had the general concept down, I guess you might say, but some of these specifics, I didn't. And one of the things is, sorry, I'm not used to this iPad. I was going to start over in Romans 10:8. The Lord has been working with me about, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And, I have been battling with certain, I don't know, fears or anxieties or intimidation or whatever to speak out about, certain things that I've been given, for a multitude of reasons. But one thing that hit me today, and I went through a whole condemnation, phase of, what are you? You ought to be able to speak out and, stand up and speak out in situations and, speak up for the Lord. What's wrong with you? You coward, you loser, and so we went through the gamut there, for a while, until I came back to Romans 8. But this is the thing that the Lord kind of showed was, I was always stuck on, Romans 10, 10, for the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the preparatory scripture that Paul used to base that was based upon that the same verses in Deuteronomy 30, after Moses went through and, told the children of Israel the curse and the blessings and the curse, etc., choose life, etc. And then in Deuteronomy 30, there he gives this, and he says, for Moses, verse 5, for Moses writeth that the man that doeth the righteousness which is of the law shall live thereby. But the righteousness which is of faith says thus, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend up into heaven to bring Christ down? Who shall descend in the abyss to bring Christ up? But it saith, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith we preach. Thy word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. And I stopped there as I was reading that, and I realized, because I was taking condemnation for, if it's not coming out of my mouth, if I'm struggling to for it to come out of my mouth, it's because I really don't believe. I don't really, it's not really in my heart. I really don't believe it. However, I wouldn't be going through the struggling if I didn't believe. And this verse the Lord brought to me, this process, it said, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. And the preference, not the preference, but the significance he places first is on the mouth and in thy heart. And that significance, at least to me, spoke of, if it's in my if it's in my heart and I believe it, but I'm having trouble getting it out of my mouth, shall we say, then I have the power over that mouth to make it happen. It's my responsibility to go before the Lord to get to take the responsibility to make my mouth speak what is in my heart. Now, it sounds kind of like forceful, like fake or whatever, maybe. Until you go back over, and that's where the Lord took me over into James chapter 3. For in many things, verse 2, we all stumble. If any stumble not in the word, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. And then it says, now if the horse's bridles in their mouth, now if we put the horse's bridles into their mouths that they may obey us, we turn their whole body also. So he says, if we put the bridle into their mouths, if we, our spirit, takes dominion over that mouth and puts that bridle in, or that controlling factor of the mouth of our words which we speak, we will bridle and control that horse, that flesh, which is the carrier of our heart. That body, that flesh, is the temple of our heart, of our inner man. And so maybe I'm belaboring the whole thing, but basically it just I'm going to say I was dealing with condemnation, that it was not really in my heart if it wasn't coming out of my mouth. But I'm now seeing that there is a battle that we need, that I need to exert my will over my heart, my body, and use my mouth as that bridle to turn that beast and make and bring it under the control of my spirit, so that whatsoever is in my heart will be confessed through my mouth, and I will, in fact, experience the benefits of those promises taking place, manifesting in the way that I desire or that I see in the scripture. So I don't know if I'm getting out to the point of running my mouth, but that's really where the Lord has had me for the last few weeks. It was kind of, in my upside down world of working night shift and everything, I find myself actually having more time with the Lord in this way to deal with these things. And I believe that when we get to the place where we are applying these truths, and I have to say I'm on the precipice here now, seeing these things build, and then the next step is to see how to apply it in my situation. And I believe that when I am doing that the flow of the sense of his presence will be there to support me through that process. And so anyway, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Thank you, Pat. All right, anyone else? Can y'all hear me okay? Oh, you can't? I can't. Y'all not making me let me kick back, are you? No way. All right. Anyone else? I want to read what David says out of perfection through Christ. And he entitles it The 7 Days of Sanctification on page 59. And he says, yes, there's an example in Leviticus 19 that points out the sanctification. Leviticus 19:19, you shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. In other words, don't get into any other word but the word of God. Thou shalt not sow thy field with two kinds of seed. In other words, each seed brings forth after its own kind. You don't want a mixture here. Then he goes on to into a little bit of a thing about bell peppers, but I'm not going to go into that. What the Father is looking for is Jesus in us. He's not interested in anything else. He has planted in his field and he wants Christ. John 3:13. No one hath ascended unto heaven but he that descended out of heaven. The Lord wants Jesus, so we don't want two kinds of seed sown in our field, because this is going to be a mixture. It's not going to be the fruit of Christ. Any mixture takes away from the fruit of Christ. In other words, if we've got our flesh more than we've got Christ, that's not going to do it. He wants us to get rid of that, right? And he says, Leviticus 19:19, neither shall there come upon thee a garment of two kinds of stuff mingled together. That's a good example of putting on Christ and putting on something else. We put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans 13 and 14. Making sure that we hold fast to the word of God, to that seed, and to make sure that we don't have a miscarrying womb, spiritually miscarrying womb. And he's talking about allowing the flesh in the world to interfere with the word of God that we have in us and not giving it all to the Lord. That's what I'm thinking. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do in this time that we're in right now, is to give everything and to allow nothing to distract us. In this, in fact, we've had prophetic words to that effect, that now's the time to draw near to God and to make him the ultimate goal in our life. And of course there's ways that we can do that, and we've touched on a number of them tonight already. What do you think the main focus should be right now as far as your dying to the flesh and the world? I guess is a question that needs to be asked. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I think that it was stressed in Matthew 24 and 25 to watch and to be ready. But if it's word, then I would say that you have to learn how to imitate God, as the Apostle Paul says to you. He said, a child can do this. He said, be therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. And, you know, as young boys, anyway, you always try to imitate Dad. Dad comes home from work, and you're really happy when you're just a toddler. I remember. And you know, Dad's there with his word, and you know, I remember the day when you show off your dad to your friends. You know, oh, my dad was this, my dad was that. You know, and you try to pick the coolest thing your dad was. You know, but some of the things they uplift is not so good. You know, and you can learn things from people who speak words. Even what would God not give us? You know, what is he going to provide for us? You know, like, would he, with this grace that he wants to give us in everything, you know, like when you read portions of the scripture, for instance, he's going to give you edification, exhortation, and consolation. Giving, they're all grace. Is he not going to give you this love too, to love him with? And we know the love that God hath in us. God is love. He that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. So, you know, it sounds kind of like the verse where it's in Christ comes to live in you, you know? You know, I was reading where you're shut up from the faith till it be revealed in you. And of course, then you get someone knocking on your door. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And now we're supposed to know that the love that God hath in us. For God is love, and we have, he that abideth in love abideth in God. So the obedience here is stressed, but he also graces us with the word of truth and the Holy Spirit. And he, what's he not going to grace for us? He graces for us the power of God, you know. And again, you know, I'm still stuck in this, not stuck, but enjoying very much chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians from 5:16 to 7:4, and all these items of grace that he's going to give you. But he also says, now is the acceptable season in 6:2, and lo, now is the day of salvation. Giving. So he's giving again. If he's saying it's now, is that not a grace? If he's saying now that he's going to speak to you, is that not a grace? Does he not say that he gives you a manifestation of the Holy Spirit and blesses you in the Holy Spirit? And if he blesses you in the Holy Spirit, that means he sends his name of the Holy Spirit to you too, who teaches you all things and reminds you of these things. So if you're faced with a word, and everyone's faced with a word, you can see in great detail how Jesus Christ always ran into people who were of a different persuasion. They didn't quite understand what he was talking about, and he always had to battle with them, as in the book of Acts, the apostles had to do the same. And it was always an opposing word. Even a person who was not fully gifted in Christ, but had the baptism of John, was capable of doing this against another word, and he was taken aside. And of course, Jesus did it with the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they ganged up on him. And you remember these stories, the history of Jesus, when that happened, and he used a coin and asks what inscription is on it. So he's constantly giving to us. Would he not give us the time that we need to be alone with him? Did he not say who the workmanship here was? We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Is that not given? That whole verse in Ephesians 2:10 is given. What would he not provide for you? You know, like he's telling you in Philippians 2:13, that's the lettuce, you know, and who you have led us, who's the us, you know, and if it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, is that not given? Is that not a grace for you? Is that not favor? If God's going to give you his word to speak, and you know what it says in Luke 1:37, for no word of God shall be void of power. And then you get the other power verses as this Luke is instructing the next people. But what kind of word did these people have in 1:37? There was no blood of the Lamb yet. The 2x2 weren't even set out. The 12 weren't set out, and the 70 weren't set out. Jesus didn't breathe on them yet to receive more of the Holy Spirit to breathe on them. And of course, we're told we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we're told that we are given this. And we're told that we'll be reminded of this. And we're told a lot, you know. We're told that he's going to write this word, the law, upon our hearts and upon our minds. But we have, in accordance to 13:10 of Romans, we have that word in the form of love. For love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Would not the Lord who gives you the word give you that word? Did he not say to us in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one? Is that not a promise? Did he not say another thing to us in 1 Corinthians 1:6-8? I'll say some received text that even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind. Who's going to confirm it if God's our workmanship? What is he not going to provide for you or give to you? What is he not going to remind you of after he gives it to you? If that Holy Spirit is given to you in the form of tongues, why do you stick just with tongues? It was mentioned earlier today about that. Why not let him remind you of everything he taught you? Is it your mind or is it the Lord's mind? Does he not write those things upon your mind? Are you getting messed up because you just think you have something in your mind that's not the power of God? When he says, in the power of God is given, right in these verses in 2 and 6 of Corinthians, in the Holy Spirit is given, in the word of truth, in love unfretted. I don't know these fancy words. It's unchanging. If he's going to give you love, and you know that love never fails, wouldn't you not want to operate in that love, to do these great things that God has already given you? I think we have to look at what he's giving us, not just given us, which he always gives, but what he's in the process of giving you. You know, like, giving what God has given and what he does give at the same time. Because if he's gonna give you something and he already has given you something, you know, but if he's saying now is the time I'm going to talk to you and now is the day of your salvation and it's a given, And he says, I am going to speak to this. Do you? I will hearken to thee. I will secure thee. I'm going to aid you, help you, and relieve you. What else can we possibly get God to give us? Why are we asking for these things when he's already given? Are we focused to be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus? Are we children? Well, so was Timothy. And Paul instructed him. You know, he instructed him in 2 Timothy 2:1. And thou, my child, be thou strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strength is a light. The light that we attained is that we speak this light to the people. And we speak this light because the Lord told us to. And if he told us to do something to bring this to other people, would he not be there for it? I know we're rejected quite a bit from the people out there because of all the different divisions. But it's still the word. I remember a time when I used to speak word to people I knew, they would be quiet and listen. Today, they tell you to shut up. But it's still his word. And, if you're going to have power with God, which he said he would do it, and not only in these words here that you're in the power of God and in the Holy Spirit, and these are graces he's giving you, and in the word of truth, and he's also telling you Philippians 2:13, which you combine with it. And you know what that one says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. The Lord even gives you by grace these warnings, which are part of your cross, but your cross is going to turn into a crown. And he gives it to you. He's a matter of fact, he tells you that it's already finished. And if you can see that in those verses where he says, now is the season, and now is the day of your salvation. If it's now, then it is already finished. And with that, we have to rest. He gives you rest. All these givens, are we forgetful? Well, he's giving you a reminder through the Holy Spirit. Let's not just focus on the one gift. Be discerning. Be discerning of spirits. Be discerning of spirits so that the word that he tells you, that you know he says that one of the gifts is the discerning of spirits, but he even gives you a word on how to do it. Now I beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together. Well, what does he get? Christ coming in you? You know, he that descended out of heaven is that goes back up into heaven. Well, you went through a baptism and you had been given to you as your seal to come up out of the water and have newness of life. And you knew that when you went through it. Someone may have come and made y'all confused and mixed up, but that's only all the different divisions, sects, or denominations that are not supposed to be there. There's only one Christ. There's only one body. There's only one God. There's the seven ones, if you read them from 4 and 4 of Ephesians to 4 and 6. So who's one? And you're one with him. We are to rejoice that our names are written in the heavens. Our name is written in the heavens. Even in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, you can have a star, a moon, or sun glory up there. But we have a name that's up there in the heavens with Christ and with the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have a nature, character, and authority. Now, that all said, you know, sometimes I need a kick in the head a few times, you know. So we need to talk about what he gives us. What's given? What is giving and what is given? And what supply would he supply for you? Seeing what he had to do, turn his back on his son. He had to take the one who had no sin. You know this. And God had to make him sin. Isn't that given? Isn't that the giving there? Isn't that the grace in that verse? That's the most quoted verse for righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5, the last verse in chapter 5, 5:21. Him who knew no sin, God made sin on our behalf. There's grace that we might receive. There's more grace. The righteousness of God. Who's that? In him, in Christ Jesus. Are you still in a mystery here? Or is it Christ in you, the hope of glory? All these things given. And all these givings that he's yet giving to you. I think you have to reevaluate what this grace is. No wonder this man knew how to write a song called Amazing Grace. You know, and no wonder there's the other grace song there. Grace, grace, wonderful grace, coming down from the Father above. I mean, I don't know, like maybe these guys need a kick in the butt. I don't particularly think you should want to have one, but if he does chasten you, he gives you that too. Chastened but not killed. He chastens the one he loves. Revelation chapter, Laodicean church. And in Hebrews it says the same thing. And you need it out of two witnesses. So, if you felt chastened in the past, what does that mean? It means it loves you. You know, I know you never really like to get your spanking from daddy, but he's good at it. And I mean good, because there's only one that's good. And it's giving you something. Most of these crosses that he gives you here are by grace of God. They're all listed, the first ones, you know, in tribulation in this 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In much patience in tribulation. We'll take that over back to where Paul said it before in Romans. 5:3, rejoice in tribulation, for tribulation worketh patience. But aren't these things given? Are you not getting grace from God here? Why would he tell you to rejoice in tribulation? Because he wants you to bear the fruit. Because I think there's the first few of them, like 7 or 8 of them there, are all crosses. And they're all grace. As a matter of fact, you know, if you read these verses, you know, so that we from now on know no one after the flesh. Who's the we? Maybe it's Philippians 2:13. For it is God that worketh in you both, to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Seeing as it's going to be God further down in chapter 6. Because he said, you know what he said there? He said he's going to, this is a given. Who's the we there? Is it not 2 Corinthians, Philippians 2:13? This is 6 and 16. For we are Who's the we? And you know, when you go further and he's given you all, I will dwell in them and walk. What did he give you there? And does that not save you? By grace have you been saved? Are you not? I'm just trying to encourage people here with these things. Are you not? I don't want to use, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Give him time to create you. Come on now. Come on, people now. Smile on your brothers. Get together, one another. Gonna love one another right now. He's gonna give you that too. Not just because I said it, because this is what he said. That he was going, you know, 3:16. Is it my fault that people want 3:20 in the same area of John there? And plus, what did they know? They didn't have the blood and they didn't have the spirit in them yet. What did they possibly understand when he said that to them over there? For God so loved the world that he gave them his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth unto him perish not, but have ever. What did they know? They were looking at a lamb that goes bad. You know, it wasn't this Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And you know, when you read a parable of the sower, you know, he's telling you this, but what did they know? What's this land he's talking about? You know, they must have referenced some of the Old Testament, but what could they possibly get out of the Old Testament about this? You know, he's talking about a land with weeds and a land with good seed in it. But what did it mean to them? The law? They didn't have the blood of the land yet. They weren't saved. What did it mean to them? We know what it means because we read it after the cross and resurrection and your newness of life. If it's newness of life, whose life is it? Besides, Peter even tells you, since his divine power had given to us. What's he giving you there? All things pertaining unto life and godliness. Who's God? Which life is this? You can almost go through every single verse in this New Testament, which is the spirit of the word, unless someone tries to spiritualize it and then suddenly it turns into letter. That's what goofs us up. And or they take an Old Testament verse and break, which is the letter of the word, and they didn't spiritualize it when they crossed over with it. You know, what did he give Samuel? What did he give Gideon? What did he give David? What did he give Abraham? You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, it speaks of a grace there. But what's the grace today? Anyway, I think we really have to put into perspective on what the Lord is giving us and what is finished here. Because he gave it to us on that verse in 19:30 of John. It is finished. And to enter this rest, if you enter a rest, yeah, everyone's kind of stressed today. I think you need to rest because, you know, you need to pray. But do you get the giving of what prayer you're going to be praying, or does he give it to you? That's a question. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Now, I'm not trying to be boisterous like I have everything, but I would suggest that we really have to concentrate on what he already gave us. And it's his concentration. Because a concentration has to do with consciousness, and the consciousness has to do with your mind and your heart. Then be renewed in your mind. Don't dwell in earthly places. Dwell in the place that he gave you. Up there. He even told you, I'm making you up there. You started up there because you're already righteous. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be made holy still. Well, so let him make you. And I don't care to say the other half of that, because it's the last page of the Bible. And let's not add or take away from what's making you, the Word of God. Because Jesus is the name called the Word of God. And that's the name where we rejoice, because our names are written in the heavens. So I don't know if you can have three big lights up there or just one. Because anything that Christ got, it was given to him. Because he grew in stature and grace with God when he was 12 years old. You who were unsaved and were shut up unto the faith that to be revealed, he finally came knocking on your door so that you could open it and let him in. So what did he not give you there? He's the one who came knocking on your door. He gave you his, he took his hand and he gave you that knock there. He gave you your first love. Because it was grace that saved you. Remember your first love all the time. And you know why? Because he's giving you the remembrance of it in the Holy Spirit. Because he taught it. Oh, there is so much giving from God. It's a shame that I even have to think of anything else but what God gave me. And it's a lot. It's more than any man can comprehend or understand. But that's what he promised you. And if you don't believe me, there's another Philippians verse that everyone likes to quote. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace, don't look that peace up in the dictionary. Get the peace that's in the spirit of the word. The two are made one, thus making peace. Did he not say there's only one body? When he went to go visit Paul in chapter 9, and Paul witnessed of it in chapter 26 of the book of Acts. He came and he said this to Paul. Of course, he didn't have a P there. He had an S. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He's down on face forward, prostrate before the Lord, in prayer. Who art thou? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Jesus even gave you that testimony that you are part of a corporate body. One body. Because he was persecuting God's righteous, and he knew the penalty for that as a Pharisee. So what did he do? Are you being persecuted? Or are you facing a cross so that you can have a crown? Your crown is your fruit. And it's not yours to begin with, but it's made for you. And that's why we rejoice that our names are written from the heavens. Because who fights our battle? There's something else he's giving. If we're going to speak the oracles of God, and our mouth has to be open wide, our mouths have to be open. It's not mouths. Sorry, I said it wrong. You see, I added an S. Our mouth is open wide unto you, Corinthians. Our heart enlarged. It's not plural mouth, and it's not a plural heart. So who's the one heart here? And who's the one mouth? Or am I the only one going to speak this mouth today? I praise God. I praise God that he would give me the ability even to praise him for all these words. I praise God and give him glory for all these words. We're supposed to walk in glory, you know. And that glory is life. Because living is the word of God and active. Where? In him we live, move, and have our being. All this is given. It's Greek poetry in the book of Acts, but now it's written in the book of Acts. It's the spirit of the word that giveth life. It's the spirit of grace given to you. All that you can even, beyond comprehension, even ask, as it says in Philippians chapter 4. All given. You know, have a clarity, but, you know, he tells you even to ask for more. You stand in this altar of grace in your perceptions. In, not just in asking all the time, but actually talking to him all the time. You can talk to him all night. You're not going to get in too much sleep, but you'll still have strength in the morning. And your strength may be a little bit tired, but you can go. You can continue. I've heard of people who's got very little sleep, and they say, you don't need much sleep. Why? Because he's believing that God is giving him something. That said, I don't even want to say it after all. That said, let's not say that other part after, okay? Because I don't want to say that anymore. And praise and glory to God for the wonderful people of the past. But we're one body with Bosworth. We're one body with Sheffy. We're one body with Jesus. And I can say for once that this love of obedience for God is, according to 14:23 of John, if any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode with him. The vine is there. You're a branch. Whatever's running through that vine into your branch is supposed to make you bear fruit, and it's a given. What is not given? What did he not spare you from? Other than nothing I can think of. Because if he's telling you he's going to give you everything beyond what you can think or ask, there's a lot more to be giving that he is going to be giving. Should we be saying as the tempter says to us, he's not going to give you anything. He ain't going to do that. No, no, he's already given it to me. And when he gives it, when he calls me, when he, what's the words here that I just have to get these down right inside of me. Now he's going to give me, as it says here, at an acceptable season. Hearken to who? Is he talking into the air? And then he says, now is the acceptable season. Is it not finished? What is God giving you? You know, even in chapter 8, you know, moreover, brethren, we, well, who's the we? It's even WE, you know. You should see how they have a gaming device for your TV that's called the Wii, too. Make known to you the grace of God. 8:1. Second Corinthians. Given in the churches of Macedonia. Did he not go there? Did he not go to Philippi? Did he not say 2:13 at Philippi? Did he not say that verse 4 about anxiety and how you get all things beyond what you can think or ask? What is the Lord giving these Macedonians? What is he giving the Corinthians here? Is that not also for us? Let us. Well, in 7:1, it's the 7:1 says, you know, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us. Well, who's included? All of those wonderful things that God said that are graces of living. I will dwell in them and walk. Did he not? Who's the us here? It is Philippians 2:13. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. It is the Ephesians 2:10. For we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. All of that is giving. Every bit of it is giving. We wronged none, corrupted none, took advantage of none. I say this not to condemn. Are you being condemned because of all this giving God is giving to you? Well, then who's that? Never underestimate the power of someone who speaks a universe into existence, or an entire planet, or all the life. And the last creation is the best one, and it's been going on for 2,000 years since the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or am I reading Ephesians 2:10 wrong? We're God's workmanship. Okay, it says his, but you know, translate it. He's giving you all the glory you can possibly walk in. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And you know what? He's giving you fellowship with righteousness. Righteousness is given. It was there. It's still there. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come unto you. That's a really wonderful given. And that I can't remember where that one is, but you're going to have to read the whole book for that one. And what's his plan? He gives you a plan. It's in 3:11 and 12. Are we too shy? I'm kind of shy guy, you know. I'm a big shy guy, you know. You know, people might be afraid of me because I'm a little bit tall. I don't know. And plus, you know, when you get to be as old as I am, there's always the one who's older. But, you know, I know that you can talk to youngsters, teenagers, and oh, listen, some of them will anyway. But they're being emboldened in the wrong form or manner. He wants to draw people. He wants to do a 6:44 of John. No one, Jesus spoke this, no one can come unto me unless the Father draw him. And it was in that very same chapter that many of them left him. But, you know, he said, and I will raise him up on the last day. 6:44, forgot that part. And there are other parts, you know, that are in there that I sometimes forget. And I was looking at a verse today and I went, whoa, I was quoting that one wrong. I left the important part out. And gives you a lot more respect for those teachers. Eh? But you know what? Aren't you supposed to walk in his teaching? Isn't he not giving you the light? One of the lights is teaching. The other one is knowledge. And he says he's giving you this knowledge by his grace. He's even giving you the word of truth there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said he's even going to remind you about it. You might goof up on it, but children sometimes mess up, but he's going to give you a word for that too in 1 John 1:9. And if you don't like that one, you go read 2 and 1 of 1 John. And if he wants to show you something that you still need, that's in Philippians chapter 3. Because if there's anything that you don't have, he's going to show it to you. So, and that's a given. He said he was going to do that. That's a given. What does it say there in 3? You know, and if there be anything else that he has to show you there, he's going to give it to you. Does it not say that? Now, is that going to come from reminder too? Is that not in the Holy Spirit of God? Are we limiting God here and saying, oh, I can speak in tongues? Well, I'm glad you can, but he's given you discernment. And there's a wonderful discernment to the Spirit that gives. But you don't want the one who's given the bad stuff. You want the righteousness, not the iniquity. You want the light, not the darkness. You're a child of light. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. We are believers because we're free from sin. And 21 and 8 of Revelation, unbelief is a sin. And you're free from sin. And that's a given. For what portion hath believer with unbeliever? He even warns us here, you know, that if working together with Christ in you, the hope of glory, it's italicized. So I'm going to put what I think should go in there. We, again, who's the we? If you don't know the we, then I would suggest you look down at 16. And he'll tell you what the we is. And you know, sometimes you think you're not worthy or something. I don't know what it is. He's trying to tempt you with some of the craziest stuff in the world. It goes into your head and you think it's your idea. And then sometimes you just need a kick in the head to get it out of you. And you gotta pipe down and we entreat. Who's the we? Of course it was Paul here, but we're one body. We entreat also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Are you loving God or are you receiving something you've escaped from? Vain is a vanity. Is God's word a vanity? Is it a fornication to you? Are you going to eat things sacrificed unto idols? And what's the other half of that? Well, it's what they said in the church of Thyatira anyway. So if it happened back then, don't let it happen now. Anyway, he's given you something so wonderful. He's given you good counsel. He's given you one body. And I think the Apostle Paul used that. In 20, he used his testimony in front of King Agrippa, in front of Festus, and in front of the other elites of government, and they didn't hear him. He came to open their eyes, to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, to receive your remission of sins, to receive an inheritance, a new lineage, a created person. Receive it among those sanctified, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. Another given. And he says, I'm going to warn you, even if you don't, if you have a mistake, I'm going to take it out of you. A foundation, any word read, any word heard, any word spoken, any word that pops into your head has a spirit behind it. And I would suggest you look at Isaiah 5:20, because some of that is being happened. It's a woe. He's trying to slow down the beast for us. Woe. That's going on around us, because we don't call good evil and evil good. We don't call light darkness and darkness light, and we don't call sweet bitter and bitter sweet, or we're going to all have to move to Texas Sweetwater. And I think it'd be packed. And I don't think God wants everyone in one place. He had to take all the people out of Jerusalem, send them abroad. Yes, there's places. There was Cyprus, where Paul's friend went, even though they separated their ways. And there was Antioch, a nice population of people there. But where are they now? They're not there as much as they should be there, but perhaps there are some there. So glory to God for his grace, grace and glory. Praise God. What has he given us? I just focus on that, I pray.
Yeah, he's given us everything we need. Praise God. Can y'all hear me?
You know, you don't have to go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Pick a page. From Acts 1 to Revelation 22. Pick a page and you'll see. He gives you a warning.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got any comments on what Andrew just got through saying? David says this, Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. He says, to notice that as you put on the works of light, you're casting off the works of darkness, the garment. You're taking off one garment, putting on another, called the armor of light. It's not only the works of light, it's the armor of light. Because the armor of light is a protection against our enemies. What is that armor of light? That's Jesus, isn't it? Andrew's sitting there talking, but ain't nobody can hear you. That's Jesus Christ. You put on the works of darkness, whose darkness are you putting on? That's the devil, ain't it? Yeah. He says in verse 14 of Romans 13, he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left. So go tell them Republicans and go tell them Democrats what the armor of righteousness is, and it's available for them. But you know what? You might have a problem, because apparently Paul spoke to an entire delegation of public life people, even a king and a queen and a governor of Rome. They didn't hear him.
Amen. Anyone else? Excuse me. Revelation 19:7 says this. It says, let us rejoice and be exceeding glad, and let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. I notice that it says, David says, notice that it says herself. You know, we have the authority of God to do this, Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. We take that authority of God, don't we? We have to cooperate with the Spirit in order to do that. Praise God. Revelation 19:8, and it was given unto her, that's the bride, that she should array herself in fine linen, bright. Ooh, she's shining like a new dime, boy. She's shining like the sun. That word bright means is radiant. And it says, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So when we do the righteous acts, we out there shining. People notice it. Praise be to God. I think the Lord wants all of us to walk in that sun glory. Don't stop at the moon glory. You walk in the sun glory, all kinds of great and wonderful things happen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I believe we're on the verge of this great and wonderful anointing that the Lord's going to give out to his bride and to his man-child ministry. The latter rain. Whoo! Glory to God. That's going to help a lot. Tremendously, tremendously. Then all we have to do is focus on the Word, focus on Jesus, see what Jesus did, like Andrew was talking about. Walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus. And the way we do that is to read the gospel, see what he said, what he did, and how he acted. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't get on the beginning. I know you're talking about convictions. I'm a conviction. Being convicted or something. I was thinking of this verse. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And it's like, that's strong, you know? So we think about, where are we? Have we made ourselves ready? Because we know that things are happening quickly. It just really convicts me, you know? I just can feel it. I can feel it like I have to know that I'm making myself ready. To know, in doing that, knowing I'm going to be ready, because I am making myself ready. So whatever he's requiring of us, whatever he tells us to do, we've got to do it. And that's making ourselves ready. And then when the time comes, we will be ready. But if we see we're not doing these things and keep being slack, we've got a problem. So God's convicted me, and I've been really striving to stay in the Word a lot and listen to teachings and let God speak to me. And it's been a real blessing lately. And hoping, wanting to be make myself ready so we can all have that positive, thinking that we know we are striving to make ourselves ready, and knowing that at the end of that we will be ready. So he says has made. So that's pretty. There's going to be a point, a time where we're going to have. We have to be made ready. So help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord God, to
Amen.
Work in this, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Jesus does it in us.
Yes. He does it in us to help us to do it. But we must do. We must cooperate with him. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Just saying we must do. We must, do is what we are to do with his grace that Andrew was saying, it's grace in us. So anyway, that's all.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I like what David says. The simple gospel is read the gospels and do what it says. I say read James and do what it says. Read the New Testament and do what it says. Go ahead, Julie. It works better if you unmute yourself.
Thank Andrew. Thank you. It does. You're right. I think Andrew and Ben had their hand up before me, unless they changed their mind. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking about that too, Debbie. And, it's kind of like we were when I think before you came on, or just as you're coming on, we were talking about that kind of stuff. It's like our failures and mistakes and stuff. And, the scripture that came to my mind today, and I was reading about that, is they overcame him. And I was talking about, the devil and his kingdom and the stuff, because the devil is out to destroy the man child, the bride, and to keep us from ascending, the man child from getting that anointing. But they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and living not their life unto death. And we have to reckon ourselves dead to sin, alive unto God. These are the things I was dealing with today, too. So we have to just consider it's already done. God knows. One of the things, God does for me is he'll bring back something that David has said, or Michael has said, or somebody in the outreach, or somebody's put in the chat or something. He'll bring back to remembrance something that will correct me, encourage me. It's like, yeah, that's right. That's right. And one of those things was, God's on your side, just make sure that we overcome, to make sure that we get that. As long as we're fighting against the sin, he sees that. And the other thing is, the Apostle Paul crying out to the Lord too in Romans chapter 7, that's sin in us, right? That we have to reckon ourselves dead. So these are the things I was thinking about. And then also just what was coming to me as you were talking, Debbie, is we speak faith, about ourselves, so that we already have overcome. She has made herself ready. And we have, by faith, we have made ourselves ready, because even Jesus said that he accomplished all that he had been given to do before he was finished, So, it's You just have to keep believing that that's already done. We have to see ourselves as his bride, as the Shulamite, as the perfect one, spotless emblem, and confess those words over ourselves. That's what I have to do. You know, I don't know how. I mean, I don't know how else to do it. I just confess the word over myself. You know, it gets the devil off. It shuts him up. You know, faith binds the devil. And we have to speak the faith of what God says about us. And he's the one that brings it to pass. It's not our ability. And I have to remind myself that it's not my ability. I'm not doing it. If I know what I'm doing is wrong and I repent again and I do it again. And, you know, thank you, Lord. Just take it out of me. I wish it was just dead already, you know? So, amen. Like, we can't look, get. Because Michael said that earlier, you can't, we got to get our eyes on, keep our eyes on Jesus, you know, not on ourselves. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, I know it's hard to do at times because all the things that's going on around us, but I tell you what I do every now and then is I just think about Jesus living inside of me and what power lives inside of me. It's the power that resurrected Jesus. The same power is in us, all of us. And that gives us the power to overcome. And that really lifts me up when I understand that or remember that. Yeah, Julie.
One of the other things that Lord has been reminding me to do, and I'll hear him say, it's like, remember, you know who you are. Know who you are in me. And when we do that, you know, that is our, you know, that's how we can edify ourselves. It's like, yeah, who am I? You know, as Andrew was talking tonight, you know, I was thinking, it's like out of Andrew's belly is just flowing rivers of living water, you know, and that's what we are. We're the word. And made flesh, and out of our bellies are flowing rivers of water, living water. When and only somebody like us can understand what, you know, Andrew was saying. It all made sense to us because we could relate. But you know, to most people, it would just be like, you know, gibberish. They wouldn't get it. You know, so we're all like-minded. We have the mind of Christ, and we're all part of the body of Christ. And I love you all. And I'm glad that we're all connected. Amen. Can't hear you, Michael.
Well, that's because I had us muted, I guess. Well, we're out of time, but I just wanted to pray one little prayer. Father God, I just ask and I pray that you place a love in our hearts for you that is hard and it can't be broken. And I thank you for that, Father. The love that gets us in the Word, that gets us into Bible studies, that gets us in learning more about you. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you are making son believers out of all of us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed.